what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
St. John Forward here to spit out some more words. This is the show on localfm.ca. I don't know why I said the CA part, but I guess that's technically true. This show is on every Monday night live from 9 till 10 o'clock, except for that last time there was a snowstorm, but I wasn't going to let you guys down two times in a row. It's not even in a row. I don't even know how long ago it was, but I've made the sacrifice, and I'm here, and we're going to have a good show. How should we start? Well, recap of last week. Just I found out that despite all of my my attempts, I found out that I am not welcome on a certain stage in this city. That is not the first one. Probably won't be the last, but we'll see. Basically, what happened was I did a show for this outfit back in September, and to the best of my knowledge and what I've heard is, I did poorly on the third show of three, and that makes them reluctant to allow me to even redeem myself, and I'm clearly not thrilled about that development, mostly because it's comedy. Everybody has a bad show. I just watched the first of the two Dave Chappelle new comedy specials on Netflix, and he talks about the show that he did, and he bombed in Boston or something, and I don't know, I just find it disappointing that that one bad show would get a comedian blacklisted on something, whereas, like, somebody, any comedian that's not garbage is gonna bomb sometimes. So my perspective is, if Dave Chappelle can still bomb to an arena full of adoring Dave Chappelle fans, maybe John Forward's allowed a bomb every now and then. It's not like it's a consistent thing. I haven't really had a bad show since then, because I don't enjoy the bomb. The silver lining of it is, even though in the moment it feels terrible, it gives you a little kick in the pants to work harder and make sure that doesn't happen again. But what I want to talk about is I'd found out through channels that somebody made a post, which, again, this may not have anything to do with me, but the timing is curious. A few hours after I put out the podcast version of last week's episode on johnforward.com, somebody made a post about how they're sick and tired of hearing comedians blame the audiences, and they've heard quite enough of it in the last 2 years. And this person said, if audiences don't like you, then you need to work harder. Which, hey, that's not necessarily bad advice. If you are consistently doing poorly, and bomb after bomb after bomb, and audience after audience and after audience that are not interested in what you're doing, then it's kind of a cop-out to blame the audience. If it's a consistent thing, and that's a thing that happens, it definitely happens around here. I've been guilty of it myself. I try not to be as much, but it can be a cop-out. Sometimes you just do bad because your joke was not good or whatever. And this is kind of a thing where I see a lot of new comics, especially of the edgier variety. I've seen people just tell a joke that was offensive and it did not get any reaction at all. And the cop out's kind of, ooh, that one was too much for you. And I'm pretty sure every time I've heard somebody say, ooh, that one was too much for you on stage, it just wasn't that good of a joke. And, it was more like, ooh, that wasn't funny enough to make up for the horrible thing that I just said, which happens. If it was a reference to me, which it maybe not, maybe even probably not, I guess I'm not the only comedian who saw that post and assumed that it was about them. There was at least one other person who took it personally, and maybe it's all just a coincidence, but it's worth noting, because I don't think that the customer is always right, especially in comedy. Now, take that with a grain of salt. If every customer is saying the same thing, there's a good chance that they are right. But in my particular case, as an example, regardless of whether this post was referencing me or not, this was not a case of me not working hard enough. In fact, it's the opposite. I work very hard, and anytime that I have a bad performance like this, it makes me work that much harder. So it's good for me. And after that bomb in Halifax back in September, I really had to reevaluate what I was doing, because I did not want that to happen again. That does not mean that that audience was correct in thinking that I was terrible that night, because if we're talking audiences, I show up Thursday, I do a show and it goes well. I show up on Friday, I do a show, it goes well. Same material both nights. Saturday night, I show up and I'm informed that it is a sold out audience, and these people are here for... there's a silent auction and slash fundraiser going on for a girls' volleyball team. Now, that set of circumstances is not necessarily the ideal audience for a John Forward set, but I've done shows for audiences that I would have thought the same thing, and I did well, and I knew that I did well the nights previous to that, and I know this particular show is this was not promoted as super fun, clean, happy hour. This is a show that promotes itself as being raw and uncut. But what happens in the comedy world is it is not really run by people that that care a whole lot about comedy. They mixing money into it kind of ruins things a little bit. I understand that it's necessary, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to make money, but you can't have it both ways. You can't set up a show and call yourself as an advertisement to lure people into your club. You can't say this is raw, uncut, real deal comedy. Be ready for it when you get here. You can't advertise like that and then put on a show where, hey, you don't want to turn people away. But if I was running a big show like that and somebody approached me and said, hey, I have 175 people, probably not that many were there for the volleyball thing, but at least 100 of those people, which is not a wide demographic. A regular audience has a mix of different kinds of people, and there's some people that like it and some won't. That's natural. But this particular audience was heavily stacked for this volleyball thing. Not necessarily comedy fans. These are volleyball fans who were told, we're doing this thing, and it is at a comedy show, and people say, ooh, comedy, that sounds fun, and they go out. As a business owner, you don't want to set up your audience for that disappointment. You don't want to look this person in the face and say, oh yeah, this will be fun for your whole church group. when you know that it's not. Same way I call myself, or I call my shows No Jokes Barred, so people know what they're in for when they walk in the door. That doesn't stop people from making the mistake every now and then. And that's what I do at the R Bar. There's people that are there for karaoke or just drinking or just VLTs that are not in for a comedy show at all, let alone a No Jokes Barred comedy show. So I put on some annoying music that will hopefully scare them away, because I know that this is not something that they're likely to enjoy. But if they want to risk it and they want to take that chance, then they are more than welcome to stick around. And if they watch a couple of people and then take off because it's not their thing, then they are doing the right thing. At the R Bar, the audience members who are wrong are the idiots that stay there knowing that they are having a bad time, and that their bad time is not going to get any better anytime soon, and they decide to stay anyway and complain about it. Drink their red wine at the bar while asking everyone around them, "Do you think this is funny? I don't think this is funny. Well, I think you could have probably made a better decision on what to do with your Saturday night." But if you are going to say, if somebody approached me and said, "Hey, I've got 50 people that are looking for a good time, and I want to bring them to your show," I'm going to tell them what they are to expect. I want those 50 people to come, but I don't want 50 people to come who are going to hate it. And if I was given lots of notice that this was going to happen, and I really wanted to get those 50 people to a show, I would probably preemptively create a show that those people would like. That one night only, I might make an exception to No Jokes Barred and only book nice, clean-cut individuals that are going to put on a good show for the nice people. But that's not what I do. I put on a No Jokes Barred show, and anybody that isn't in for that doesn't need to come. But if I was putting on a No Jokes Barred show and I am approached by a Sunday school, I would probably give them a heads up what to expect. But that's not what happened to me. I found out the night of, I probably had a half hour, maybe an hour before the show started when I realized what was going on. I made a decision to do the same material I did the previous two nights. That went fine. That ended up being not a great decision, but it also was not a great decision to have these people there with the expectation that they were in for some good, clean fun. And they should have booked people that they knew were a sure thing that would not be a problem for these people. Or at the very least, if it was a last-minute thing, they could have at least given me a heads-up. "Hey, John Forward, just so you know, this is who's going to be there on Saturday. Just keep that in mind and you can tune it." But that's not what happened. And I don't think those people are wrong for not liking me, but I think that the club is wrong for putting any stock in those people who don't like me, just because they are completely right in hating that whole 15 minutes that they had to endure of John Forward. They'll never get that time back, and I feel deeply bad for that audience that had to endure it. But if one of those people had such a bad time that they sent a message off to Yuck Yucks, "This is not what I signed up." Oops, shouldn't have said that word. I was trying to be diplomatic, but anyway. If somebody went to a show that they shouldn't have been at to begin with and then complained about it, you're polite and say, "Oh, sorry, this is an uncut, uncensored comedy show. I'm really sorry that you had a bad time. If you come on this weekend, these people, I think that you'll like." I don't know. It's just, you can't set up expectations and then hold the comedian at fault when they don't meet the expectations that are not really known to be. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just rambling at this point. They should have given the audience a heads up that this is an uncensored comedy show. Maybe they did that. They should have given the comedians a heads up. There's going to be a bunch of lamos at the show, so maybe dial it back a little bit. They did not do that. And even after those first two steps were failed, somebody complained. I'm assuming it was somebody that was in the audience, maybe it was the person who set up this whole thing. Maybe it was people that worked at the club. I have no idea who sent word up high, but anybody that knows what they're talking about knows that sometimes people have a bad night, and sometimes the audiences are wrong. I've done the Fringe Festival 2 years in St. John, 5 nights in a row. Some nights went great, some nights went terrible. We're doing the same show all 5 nights. If anything, it might improve slightly as you go, just through practice. But if we did great on Thursday, Friday, and then the Saturday night people hated the show, that's not a reflection on the show. But anyway, I took it as a learning experience. I had a bad time, the audience had a bad time, and I don't want to see anybody have a bad time, especially myself. So I've been working harder. I've come up with some contingency plans to fall back on if I'm in a situation where an audience hates me as much as those people did. And I was looking forward to the opportunity to redeem myself, but that's not possible if you're just going to cut people off and not even give them a chance to make up for it and to dance around it. And if anybody thought that this was a reasonable decision to make, they'd just be straight about it. But instead, everybody ignores emails and buries their head in the sand, and hopefully the problem will work itself out. And that's dishonest, but I want to make up for it. So I've got a comedy booker promoter in the studio with me tonight, who's gonna help me navigate how to become a more bookable comedian, so that I can do these shows for lamos and have them not hate it, and have them not boo me off the stage, and have them not complain to upper management. So I'm here with. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say that we got a long, long ways to go.
Fair enough. Yeah,
My name's Spike Soulpatch, because I used to have spiky hair and a soul patch. It's different. It's different now, but the name still applies.
Well, yeah, once you become known with that,
my friends call me Patches.
Yeah, so he works for a comedy chain of clubs called Snorts, and. I'm hoping he can give me some advice on how to properly behave myself.
Well, like I say, it's going to be a long road to that, but maybe I can do it.
Yeah, well, probably.
I didn't promise that I would do it, and that just keep track of that.
Well, I just appreciate that you came in, and you're giving me the chance to learn from somebody who knows as much about comedy as you do, and I look forward to the opportunity. But for now, we're going to start with a song. This is Blood Ceremony with the great god Pan on St. John Forward Radio. Why isn't it working?
This is a mark against you.
You're right. All right. What is wrong with this thing? The source is on. The auxiliary, it is turned on. I'm plugged in. What the F is going on here? Source, volume is turned on, it's on, everything is going. This is an issue. This is worse than the unfortunate. Well then, we've got a bit of a technical. This isn't my usual. I hope this doesn't reflect on me. Usually there is a screw up at the beginning. Usually it's a problem with my phone, or I don't have the thing turned on. Let's try.
Would you like to try my phone or the computer?
Yeah, this is weird. Let's go to the computer. This is going off the rails already.
Yeah, see, this is what professional radio stations do, is play their music off YouTube, because YouTube is infallible. It never, ever screws up, and it always plays the whole song. There's never any parts before or after the song that aren't the song. ads, what have you.
107.3 FM, grass-fed, organic, local community radio.
All right, we're back with grass-fed community radio, St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with my guest, Spike Soul Patch.
I told you, call me Patches.
Sorry, Patches. So that's the first tip when you're dealing with a big shot comedy promoter such as yourself. I should call you by your preferred pronouns.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. But also a good thing that you just pointed out that also gives you points is, what did you just call me? Something about being a pro?
A big shot?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. So you're saying that it's good to brown nose a little bit.
Yeah, well, I prefer it. Am I talking? I don't know which part of this mic's the front part.
That part. I can hear you. You can hear yourself in the earphones.
Yeah, but I don't like the way it sounds. I've never heard my own voice before. I'm not pumped about it.
Well, have you not done radio interviews before in the past to promote shows? Like, it seems.
But I never wore the headphones before. This is my first time wearing the headphones. I thought I'd give it a try, but I'm not liking it.
Well, you're here to teach me about how to be a good comedian. I'm teaching you how to be a good radio guest, so it's kind of a win-win. You need to be able to hear your own voice.
Yeah, well, I've got to decide. My boss sent me down here to decide how, on a scale from 1 to 10, how bookable you are.
Wait, you have a boss? You're not running the whole show yourself?
I run it, but I do have a boss, yeah. He doesn't help. He doesn't do much. He's one of those situations where somebody else pays for everything. And I do all the actual work.
Okay. Well, what sort of actual work do you do?
Well, what am I here doing? I do that type of stuff, you know. I go around, I ask people if they want to be on Snorts' comedy stage, mm-hmm. And if they do, I see if I think that they're good enough at it. That's my main job.
Well, yeah, and Snorts is a very recognizable brand, so you probably don't have a real hard time finding talent for your show. What kind of comedians are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for all kinds. We don't really have there's no any genre of comedy we'll do. We like prop comics. If you know some magic tricks, we're cool with that. Mm-hmm. Mime, okay. Comics, all of it.
I have a comedy set where I eat a cheeseburger. Is that the kind of thing that you're into? That's a prop.
Yeah, that would count as you'd be a prop comic. If it's one of those things where we have to supply you with the cheeseburger, that's going to come out of your pay in the end. Okay. So keep that in mind.
All right, fair enough. So you're a little bit familiar with John Forward. Like, what does a John Forward type need to do to get on that snort stage?
Well, I got lots of different notes that I've made for you so far.
Okay.
All right, so first of all, I think you first note is you talk about yourself too much. And you're overall too talkative. I think you don't need to get so many words in there.
Right, okay. So what if... So would you suggest some more, mugging? Making funny faces.
Yeah, okay, the way that I prefer, I call it the 2-to-1 rule. For every 2 words you say, you have to make a new face. Okay. 1 face per 2 words. You say 2 words, then you pause.
Oh, okay, that's the face that you're making right now.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Okay.
That's the 2-to-1 rule. That'll get you far in comedy.
Okay, because I've been writing, you're right, I do mostly talk about myself, but
any time in between the words to change what your face is doing. You just leave your face through the whole joke, and that's a big problem I see.
Okay, fair enough. Do you think the beard is a detriment? Do you think it makes my face less expressive?
Yeah, I was going to get to the beard, but I also think you're too fat, and I wanted to bring that up first. You're not, way too fat, but you're a little bit too fat. And you're not the fat comic type of comic. You're just a regular comic, so you don't want to get that fat and try to do it.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I'm not fat enough to be the fat guy, is what you're saying. And I'm not thin enough that anybody wants to look at me.
Yeah, you're not... Yeah, people are going to come in and they're not going to know. It depends on where they're sitting. The people up close are going to think that you're a fat comic and you're doing it wrong.
Right.
And the people back further might get it right, but it's going to be confusing. And then afterwards, when the crowd gets together and talks to each other, they're not going to understand. They think that they went to see different shows, right?
Well, do you think it would be easier for me just to eat more and become a fat guy or to lose the weight?
That's only a question that you can answer from your own soul, okay? You have to decide what you want to do with your body and in comedy.
Well, that's good that that you're allowing me to make decisions about my own appearance. But back to the beard thing, like the last time I had no beard, I was probably 15 pounds heavier. But I think there's probably still a double chin hidden in there somewhere. If I shaved it off, it might be more apparent.
But here's the thing, though. Even though you think, oh, a double chin makes you look fat and maybe that would be bad, double chins are always funny, right? And okay. If you're laughing, there's more going on. If you've got a double chin, there's just more face to go around, right? You could have, you know, if you could have two of any part of your face,
yeah,
that would be okay. A positive boon.
Well, yeah, that's two chins that I can emote with. And I could probably hide some props inside the double chin. I can stick like a pencil in there maybe and pull it out when I have a pencil joke.
Yeah, you might be able to fit more in the beard, though, if you're going to get into that stuff.
Yeah, you're right. So this comedy business is real complicated. I've been trying to write stuff that's meaningful to me, like life experiences.
Also, another thing you should know too, if you can't quite cut it as a comedian, we're also booking waiters and coke people, and that's also part of my job.
Okay, so how long do you think I'd have to be a waiter or like a coat person? Do those people often make the jump to the stage?
It's not unheard of, but they get better at their craft when they're, you know, they'll go to the comedy club and they can see the other comedians, and then when they're putting your coat away, they can make a joke about, you know, oh, maybe it's not that cold out, but you brought a like a winter coat, and they could say, not, it's not that cold out. They could say it in a funny way if they had some practice, right? And then that's the practice that they could get. It has happened. We've had some very successful comedians who started out as waiters and co people.
All right. So what if this? Okay. So let's do. You got? Do you like improv comedy? Is that something that Snorts is into?
Well, yeah, you can improv if you want to. But the only thing is, if you're doing three nights in a row, like a weekend. You got to improv it exactly the same the second time, so that's that's on you. But
okay,
you can do it.
Let's, if you don't mind, let's just improv a little scene, just so I can kind of get a feel for what I'd be doing. So let's say I'm the coat check guy at Snorts, and you're the customer who came in with a heavy coat, and it's not cold out.
Okay, what's my motivation?
You want to see an okay comedy show.
Okay, I'm in.
And you want to pay out the nose for the privilege.
Yes.
So you have lots of money and yes. Poor taste.
I can do this part.
Okay, so, what's with the coat? Are you going to be selling some watches after the show? You got some watches hidden under there?
You didn't say it was a watch... Am I selling watches in this?
Well, not really, but that's the funny part. Like I'm saying, because I'm the funny coat check guy, and in my head I'm thinking like, well, he's wearing a really heavy coat,
yeah.
So
that's it, not,
and it's not cold out though, so he must have some watches hidden under there.
That's not, I guess so, but I didn't get it. What would be a good one if you're like, hey, fatso, if you said that, and the guy wasn't that fat, but then he had a coat on that made him fat,
okay,
I find that to be funny.
All right. Well, that gets into a nice. That gets into a bit of a dicey area. Let's say somebody comes to a comedy show, and they want to laugh, and the comedian just insults them and calls them a fatso. What if they send you an email the next day saying, I can't believe that coat check guy called me a fatso. I've been struggling with my weight for years. I've actually lost 100 pounds in the past 3 days. And that was not a welcome comment. How would you respond?
I'd say, well, you know, just don't go out again from your house until you're ready to deal with that kind of stuff. If you're going to look so fat, I don't know what to tell you. That's not my fault.
Well, that's an unusual point of view for a comedy booker. Like, don't you want that guy's $20? Don't you want to say like, what do you feel on the customer always being right? That's what I would say. I would say stay home, Fatso, if you can't handle it.
Yeah.
But you seem to be on board with me, but that hasn't really been the case for me so far.
The customers, it depends. You know, they can't all... Okay, you say there's a problem with that. They say the customer's always right. What if you got two customers and they're saying different things? They can't both be right. So let's get our story straight about nothing can always be right. It could, like, you know, maybe we'll give them 60% of the time. Sure, that I can say. Customers are right. But even then, it doesn't really work out. It's got to be 50-50. It can't be more than 50-50. Customers are right half the time. Let's give them that. But any more, need to reserve my right for them to be wrong.
Well, I just had an idea. Like, I used to be a teacher, and there's a big thing in this province called differentiation, and that's where you've got a classroom with a large swath of students that all have different needs and ability levels and everything. And the idea, even though it doesn't make any sense, is that the teacher is supposed to offer a little something to everybody. So you've got one version of your lesson for the dumb kids. You've got one version of your lesson for the smart kids. You've got one version of the thing for the kids in the middle. And then there's all the other people that aren't smart, dumb, or middle. They've just got certain factors. So you kind of... What? Did you do something? Oh, wait, no, that was me. I must have put my elbow on your button. What?
Oh, no, there we are. Okay.
There we are.
I would say that the problem, you know, with there is you can't... Don't cater to anybody.
Okay, so what I should do, rather than differentiating and giving something for, like, the high-minded comedy fan and the low-brow comedy fan and the kind of just general out for a night of entertainment, instead of giving any of those people what they want, you just kind of got to throw it right down the middle, and you got to go right for the middle of the road. Not too good, not too bad, not too offensive, but not too clean. Is that what you're saying? You got to play to the middle?
Yeah, you got to play to the middle. And if you're having a problem doing that, we have a comedy set that somebody else wrote that we can just give you, and if you just want to get up and do that set, we will pretty much let anyone do that.
Okay, so it's a tried and true thing. All right, well, I want to hear a little bit more about that, but maybe let's take a break and play a song that you requested.
I requested a song.
Radio. Tell us about the song. And is this something that...
Well, I'd never heard of the song until today. Somebody messaged it to me, and I was like, wow, that's catchy, and I said that to them, and then they said back to me that it should be catchy because it's a song of peace and hope for our future as a species and stuff. And I was like, well, I'm for our future as a species. I don't want there to be no future at all.
Okay, so
for us.
The description on YouTube of this is that it's a fun song about the universe and how reality is changing around us.
Yeah, did you know that the timeline's becoming unstable? That's a thing I've been thinking about.
I didn't know that, but I'm interested in hearing more about this. So.
Oh, we can get in. We can talk about totally different stuff than comedy if you want to, and we can talk about my views on the timeline.
We might be able to get into that as part of the brown nosing of you, but my main goal here is just to get myself booked on shows.
Well, I'm more into my goals, and I like to talk about the timeline stuff.
Well, that's a valuable thing. That's something you've got to appeal to people that don't care about comedy.
I'm going to put that down as a note, as a positive. That's okay. A positive in the John. Okay, right now I'm making John Forward pros and cons. Just got a pro.
All right, so appeal to people that don't like comedy.
Yes,
that's a good lesson. But here's some Chatelet, the Italian version.
This is about there's no, it's just Italian. There's no English version.
All right, a little international flavor on St. John Forward Radio.
We'll be right back. progeni di cellule e livelli. Volo verso l'universo, l'attraverserò. Se sei stella, fatti vedere, io mi fermerò. Wow. Scegli, scegli la mia libertà. Scegli, scegli il volo. Wow. Scegli, scegli il volo. Sognare alta. Scegli, scegli il volo. Vola nella mia vita, ma non è finita. Non mi fermerò. Scegli le mie vele nel cielo in fondo al mare. Io ti
we're back on St. John Forward Radio. I'm not entirely sure what that was, but I am here to please. I'm here to brown up my nose, get some tips on how to be a more bookable comedy entertainer.
It's just a good song, though, really. It's catchy.
Yeah.
You got to give it that. It's a little bit old-fashioned in its uses of synthesizers and drum machines. But it's catchy.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, it. I've played worse songs on this show. We've got about 14 minutes left in the program, and since my phone isn't cooperating, we're going to barrel through for the rest of the show.
Well, this kind of brings me to another point about, you know, that I thought about for your comedy.
Okay.
Well, you know how I was saying earlier that you do too much talking, right?
Right.
Well, what if you had some music playing in the background while you were talking? Just keep the music going. So then people who don't like the talking... or comedy. They don't even like comedy, maybe. They can have the music, and then you get more viewers that way.
Yeah, or, like, you could have, like, the hockey game on the TV on the sidewall, maybe. Something like that as a distraction. What do you think?
Yeah.
Because I have tried to... that's another lesson I learned when I... the last big bomb that I had was almost a year ago at the Delta when I had my botched headline attempt. I tried to put in some musical cues to add a little flavor to the stories if I'm talking about something, if there was a background song that would add to it, but that ended up being a disaster because there were technical difficulties.
Yeah, well, you don't want to bomb. That's the main number one rule of comedy. Bombing in comedy makes you a comedy terrorist. Okay, and that's a fact. And okay. You should be prosecuted as such.
All right, that's an interesting take. But before we continue, I always forget to throw out the phone number. It's 506-648-5925. If anybody out there has any more comedy tips, and you're confident that I'll be able to figure out how to make the phone work, given that I can't make my own phone work.
If somebody else calls in, I don't want them to take away from the talking time that I would have, though.
Okay, so as discussed earlier, there's a lot of catering to non-comedy fans that needs to happen if you're going to be a bookable comedian. So having a song in the background mm-hmm. so that people that hate comedy, they have something to enjoy. Do you have how else do I reach those people that
just
hate,
dress
hate
up,
comedy?
Dress up like a clown. Get the whole thing. Okay. Just because then they'll know, this is supposed to be funny. That's a lot of comedians now. What do they come out wearing? Just a regular old shirt and pants like the rest of us. We don't know until they've been talking for a while that they're, that's a comedian up there. We should have been paying attention. He's almost done. Too late now. If he had come out there with different color hair,
okay,
different color on his face, you know, makeup, funny clothes, we would know. Now is the laughing time.
Okay, so I should maybe rebrand myself as a Juggalo comic, maybe? Or like a scary clown, or like a fun children's birthday party?
I find scary clowns only go over big in our club if they threaten the people and the people believe it. Like, you know, if you don't come to my next show, I might show up by your bed. They say stuff like that, and then people do show back up again, but I think that they don't seem to be enjoying themselves. Doesn't really matter to us.
Okay, so, well, what if to market the show, I walk around uptown in a clown uniform and I hand out balloons that have the show information on it and just tell people that we all float up there. That's an It reference that is lost on everyone, probably.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's a good reference. They're making a new It movie, so just hold on to it.
It's topical.
It's coming back. He might say that line again.
They probably will. So far to summarize, so don't talk about myself.
Oh, I saw one time a comedian, he didn't have any jokes. Mm-hmm. He came up, he just had like little kind of prize bags he made up. He gave those out to everyone and everyone came, they were happy. They came back again when they saw it, you know, when he had another show, we sold out.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that he told me that the prize bags cost more than he was getting paid. And we couldn't help him with that. So I don't know what happened to him. He hasn't been back.
Well, what kind of things would you put in the comedy prize bag?
What did he have?
Yeah, I want to make it my own. I don't want to just have it
generic.
You should
make it your own. You don't want to do what he was doing. Okay, it's not a good life lesson what I'm going to tell you here, what he was doing.
Okay.
The stuff he was putting in those bags, I probably can't even say it on this radio show. That's, you know, different drugs, different kinds of maybe adult toys, stuff like that. That's the kind of things he was putting in there. That's why it was costing him so much. If you just put it in a Kit Kat.
Like adult toys, like a drone or something like that.
Well, some of them have some of those components, but they're not the same, you know. There's some complicated different adult toys you can get. I'm just saying that he had a grab bag and it worked for him.
My wife is an adult, and she's a big fan of Monster High dolls. Is that an example of an adult toy?
John, you know what I'm trying to get at here. Don't make me say it.
Well, no, I'm really... This is my problem.
It's sex stuff, all okay. right? It's sex stuff. That's what I was okay. talking about.
Then just say yeah. so. This is my problem with your colleagues. You have something in your mind, and you're afraid to say so because you don't know, he's going to probably...
Oh, yeah, you say that. You're the one here at the radio station. Who's going to have a problem with me saying sex stuff? The radio station's going to. That's what I was worried about. So you're the patriarchy when you think about it, not me.
Okay. Well, you let me handle the radio station. I think that the CRTC...
So I can say sex toys?
The CRTC is probably okay with the mere existence of adult sexual toys. I think that's okay to talk about.
Butt plugs?
Butt plugs, nose plugs. vagina plugs.
That's what it was.
Penis
butt plugs.
Plugs
and cocaine. That's what he had in those grab bags. And sure, people came back for that. It's one of those things. We don't know whether to endorse it or not. If you want to do it and it helps your comedy career, fine. We're not paying for the stuff that you put in the bags. That's the main lesson I want to give out. If you want to come down to Storch Comedy Club and give out grab bags, fine. But you're paying for what goes in those.
Well, that particular combo, I don't think I would be on board for the cocaine with the butt plugs, just because I think having those
use them on the same night.
Well, my worry would be that somebody would sprinkle the cocaine on the butt plug, and then that would kind of numb up their butt, and they might put something in that there. They might put the butt plug in there too deep.
I never thought of that. Might be why he was. Maybe that was the joke, and I just didn't get it.
And also, I think the inside walls inside of your butthole, I think, are very sensitive to. So I think if you put cocaine directly up your butthole, that might be an overdose.
Well, if you put too much up, that's how overdoses work. You can do a little bit of anything, right? You can even take a little bit of poison. It's not that big a deal. It's when you take too much poison to live through it that you have a problem.
But now, the other thing that is my main concern is if you're handing out cocaine and butt plugs at the comedy show, what happens when local businesses come out for their Christmas party and they are not in the cocaine and butt plug business?
Well, it's one of those things. You get the thing.
Okay, or worse, you get some cocaine dealers and butt plug salesmen, and we're giving them a competitor's product.
I never thought of it that way. Okay, I'm not worried about that's the guy who came up with that and was doing that. That's his problem. That's not our problem as the club. If you don't, most people too didn't look in those bags right away. They were like, "Oh, cool, I got a little bit grab bag," and they went home and checked it out later in the privacy of their own home. And they don't all know that they got the same grab bag.
Okay,
and they're like, "Oh, I got the cocaine butt plug. Maybe somebody else got some, you know,
fair enough,
heroin and cock rings, different combinations."
Fair enough. Yeah, okay. Well, and that's the thing. So you want to give something for everybody. You want to appease the cocaine and butt plug audience member. You want to, I'm not sure if
you're okay, I will have to say, John, you've impressed me. That is the most succinct version of learning your lesson of comedy that I've ever heard. And I would like to officially, you know, give me your form that you filled. You got your form from Snorts Comedy.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me see that. Bam, that's the official stamp. You are now bookable.
Wait,
congratulations.
A minute. I'm looking at this contract, and it says that if I sign with Snorts, I'm not allowed to do any other shows, but if I do, I need to give you a 15% cut, even if you don't have anything to do with it?
At least 15. You should give more if you really want to help out with the organization.
That's a little sketchy.
But whose side are you on in this? This is a war of comedy we're trying to
make. No, you're right. If I want to be a bookable comedian, yeah, I need to just say I need to take improv lessons so that I can be a better yes-ander. If they say, this is the stupid thing that we want you to do, I got to say, yes, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
So
have a good attitude about it and stop giving me trouble, or I'll take, you know what else I got? It's a different stamp that just says on the front of it. And if I put that in front of the bookable stamp, guess what you become?
Unbookable.
Yeah.
That's not what I want. That's the opposite.
Well, that's the kind of power that I've been enthralled with.
What we are
and
here for.
I am here to exercise that power, and the bookable power and the unbookable power. I will exercise whichever one of those I have to.
All right. Well, Spike, or what?
Patches.
Patches. I'd like to thank you for coming on St. John Forward Radio.
I go by Spike too, though. It doesn't really matter. But tonight I wanted to be Patches. But you know.
All right, Patches. Well, thank you. We're going to hammer out the details here, and I'll definitely have some Snorts dates to plug next week on the show once we figure that all out. But for now, I've got some No Jokes Barred shows coming up. We've got No Jokes Barred Deluxe happening on April 7th at O'Leary's. I think it's April 7th, whatever the Friday is, from 9 to 11. We've got Chris Trotter is hosting. She's been a little off the scene lately, but she's making a comeback, and
she's trotting her way back,
trotting right back in. I've asked her if she wants to be on the show next week, because she hasn't gotten back to me yet, but maybe we'll hear more from her. New comedian and performer on stages that I'm not allowed on. Matt Keenan will be making his O'Leary's debut. And who else do we have? We've got Ben McDonald coming down from Fredericton. We've got formerly the spawn of St. John, Mark Splood, who was on the show a few weeks ago. He's going to be on that O'Leary's show. And I want you and any of your booker friends to come out and see me, because John Forward is going to be headlining that one. I think I'm going to have another go at the set that I bombed with at the Delta. And we'll find out
if the
audience was wrong or if it was me.
What do you need? Grab bags. Problem solved.
Got to get some grab bags. But anyway, that's all I've got coming up. So, the R-Bar on the third Saturday of April, that'll be exciting. And I'm not sure what the date. I think it's either the 15th or the 18th, whatever the third Saturday of April is. But that's all I've got lined up so far. And I'm going to leave it at that. This has been St. John Forward Radio, and it's recorded live every Monday night, 9 to 10 p.m. Atlantic time on Local FM 107.3. Their website is localfm.ca. If you are a bad person and you didn't hear it live, it will go up in the podcast section of johnforward.com on Wednesday, and you can click through the link and listen to all the back episodes along with the entire H to the C catalog. So,
can I say one more thing?
Yep.
Cocaine is butt plugs.
Cocaine is butt plugs?
I meant for it to just be cocaine without an S on the end. Sorry, I was excited to say it again on the radio.
The radio station does not endorse them. I only endorse them if they're used responsibly in front of a doctor.